You're such an asshole.
So I love these type of requests. Hey, Cappy, thanks for the video. I'd done a previous video for him. I will re-listen to the podcast. Anyway, here's $55 for a do whatever you want video. By gum, $55 for do whatever I want video. Oh, I like that. I get to talk about what I want. How do I get the girls without going to the gym? I'm sad and depressed. Are you fat, ugly, and live at home? Yes. How do I stop being sad and depressed? Well, let me go over this the 4,000th freaking time. Now I get to talk about what I want. So I had an idea, as I have many ideas, and I got more ideas than I have life expectancy. So if you want to pay me for originals, don't worry. There's a backlog of them. But I had an observation, and let me point this out because I think we could draw a lot from it. And the general population could take a lot of confidence from themselves. I don't have a degree in economics. I was originally an economics major, but then I realized after trying to like get internships and whatnot that it wasn't that employable of a major. So I switched to finance, which is an equally unemployable major. And that's why I wrote Worthless. Worthless is basically the first book of don't do what I did, kids. Don't do drugs. Matter of fact, do drugs because it's more fun. At least you get something out of it. Right. But I do have a minor in economics, and through the randomness of a career, I did end up actually doing economic work as an intern back when I was 21, 22. And just to show you how worthless economics and that degree is and all that is, I did more real life economic work as an intern at 21 and 22 than I have ever done in the rest of my life. One might argue my book on the housing crisis, predicting that was more serious, real economic work. But no one paid me for that. That was a self-employment deal. But no one's ever paid me for it because people don't want economists. Right? People don't want it. So there was never this compunction or reason to go and get a doctorate, which is basically what you need in economics to have any kind of semi-quasi crack at a real economic career. But there's something I noticed, and this has happened in banking, but even before that, it's not like the housing crisis was the only thing, but we had the dot-com bubble, the Asian currency crisis. I was too young, but the SNL bailout. Now we got hyperinflation. I mean, there's always going to be some kind of economic thing. And I realized that in merely reading on economics and studying on my own, without having to pay some washed up nobody who never set foot outside academia to get a PhD in economics, I was a better economist than most professionally trained economists. Oh, Keynesian school. Ooh, Austrian school. Is that a spider? No, that's just a mark on the wall. They got black widows out here, so it's like kind of important if it's a spider. Anyway, I'm a nobody. I only have my minor in economics, but I was an autodidactic, meaning I taught myself economics or I researched it. And I would also say I was not handicapped or had my hand tied behind my back, or technically more my brain tied behind my back, or I could take in data and look like, hey, this is what's happening over here. Whereas most of your professional economists, it has to be in this philosophy. It's a science. We got the Phillips curve and the Laffer curve. And it's like, no, you're restricting yourself. And what I ended up finding out is, I'll explain economics to you in basically a sentence or two. Everybody is lazy and they don't want to work, and they'll do anything and everything in their power to avoid real job. That's it. That's economics. And what I've found with the economics profession, speaking of lazy people who don't want to work, is that it's pretty much all fraudulent and BS. Oh, not to say that economics isn't important, that if you take a critical approach to it and you're honest with yourself, say like a Thomas Sowell or a Ludwig von Mises or Adam Smith or something like that. But if you look at the vast majority of the rest of the economists, they're not even economists. They're politicians creating out of whole cloth a BS social science called economics to rationalize printing off more money and stealing other people's money. And you would say, do you want proof? I'll give you proof. Don't want to misquote. Tell me if I'm wrong. But like, I think it was Janet Yellen. But we don't have the Federal Reserve. Okay. That's where most of the economists work, right? That's where you think there'd be economists, right? What are they doing? Printing off more money. Like, that's a basic 101. That's going to lead to inflation. And now they've come up with modern monetary theory. What, you know, oh, we can make money printer go burr because it's different this time. Why is there inflation? Why is the food expensive? I don't get it. And what I think it was Jan Yabit, she said, don't quote me. Some said, some economist up there. Well, I'm a little more inclined to be able to be a little bit more loose with monetary policy to print off money. Excuse me. They tried that multiple times. Weimar Republic of Germany, Yugoslavia, Zimbabwe. What makes you think it's the, oh, but monetary? No. You're frauds. You're liars. You cheats. Just got, and above all else, you're posers. You're not real economists. You're just the person they go to provide the mathematical economic explanation as to why we can just run debts. Run deficits, rather, and accumulate debts up to like 300% GDP. See, but there's a bond backing it up, see? So it's not printing off more money. And what ultimately did it in a very Paul Krugmanian sort of way, Paul Krugman, he's probably one of the smartest economists out there because he knows what he's doing. He's no dummy. He's just a brilliant man. It just, oops, I forgot to carry the one. And now socialism works. See? Here's an economic explanation as why socialism works. You know, and but Robert Reich, labor secretary, I believe, under Clinton. Real economist, like a PhD, you know. And where I saw him, where you got to peer behind the curtain. He was like, there was a tweet he sent out some, again, don't, but pretty sure, where he's like, Jeff Bezos has X amount of dollars. We need to tax the rich. And I'm like, even you, Paul, not Paul, Robert, even you know that Jeff Bezos, or take any multi-billionaire, they don't have that much in billions of dollars of cash laying around. It's their net worth. In Bezos's case, it's tied up in Amazon stock. In Bill Gates's case, it's tied up in Microsoft stock. And in Warren Buffett's case, it's tied up in Berkshire Hathaway stock. Even presumably one of the richest men in the world, if not the richest man, Vladimir Putin, he doesn't have 500 billion rubles sitting in a pile of cash like Scrooge McDuck. It's diversified and invested in assets. And if you want to tax those people, that means they have to convert those assets into cash, which means if you're going to force Jeff Bezos to liquidate half his position in Amazon stock, not only will he not get that amount of money because there's no one on the other side of, like, who's got 250 billion, however many billion cash and wants to buy it, right? But if all of a sudden he's got liquidated, what's going to happen to the stock price? It's going to go down. So you're not going to get anywhere near that amount. In other words, It's a nice number to banter about. Ooh, look, Bill Gates is worth this much money. Yeah, if he slowly liquidates it bits and pieces at a time. But if he's got to dump half his shares to pay, you know, half the tax that you guys want to take, you're not going to get that money for multiple reasons. It's not that liquid. Everybody look up liquidity. That's economics 102. But Robert Reich should know this. He should. And he does. And when it shows you what that tweet belied and exposed is that they don't give a damn about economics. They're just political actors and they want to steal your freaking crap. And Robert Wright, I think for a lack of anything else, he just wants to be a popular guy. Look, kids, socialism. Ain't I down with the cause, y'all? Like, oh, dude, join Bill Clinton and just go to the hospital already. Like, get out of here, you has-been. Like, that's your goal. That's you. It's like the old creepy man at the nightclub. Like, hey, kids, look, I'm popular and cool. Like, no, you ain't. You're really not. And so what I realized, and combine this in the, you know, let's go back. God. 14 years ago, 13 years ago. Well, I was writing it. No, it had 14 years ago when I started writing the books. I wrote that book Behind the Housing Crisis. And what it taught me, and when all of a sudden the banks came crashing down, and I know more what's going on than the pros. I know more what's going on than the people with their PhDs. And all I got is my rink-a-dink minor. And here's what I realized. with all the social sciences and all the liberal arts and all the professionals and the pros, and it doesn't even have to be relegated to that. But unless you're in the field of like medicine or engineering, a finite quantifiable science where the scientific method actually works, there is no reason to listen to these professors or experts, because they're all wrong. And this is where we go back to the repeatability crisis or the validity crisis, where, what was it, two-thirds, over half, depending on which subfield of the bogus sciences you want to go to, cannot be repeated. And I've already argued this long ago that the quality and caliber of people that go into the liberal arts and the social sciences are low and fraudulent and typically malicious or evilly intended, where they don't want to work a real job. Right, psychology, hello, hello. People are getting worse in terms of psychological health, and we have more psychologists out there. We consume more therapists' hours. And certainly could consume more psychotropic drugs, and everyone's getting worse. Hey, you know what the solution is to alcoholism? Have another drink. There you go. You just need another drink. Hey, you drink yourself sober. That's what you're going to do. And so when it comes to society and the non-literal math, like, okay, you're not going to write a paper on nuclear physics. But if you want to write a book on philosophy, but you don't have your PhD, not only do I advocate you do that, but chances are you're a lot better than the other ones because they're handicapped. They are not allowed to think outside academia. Academia has you channeled in so many different ways and your mind constricted, that you're not going to come up with a good book in philosophy. And then also, if you look at a lot of the academic papers that come out, they can't do anything new and they can't do anything edgy. You can't do anything truthful. Oh, by the way, it all has to fit within a Marxist socialist narrative. So yay for that. That's going to make things fun. But have you looked at what they, I'm a published academic. What? In what journal? In what paper? Literally newspapers and journals that were created so that academics could go ahead and create and publish. And I have my PhD. How old and obsolete is that PhD system? And who reads it? I mean, my gosh, even my blog in the beginning days would get more readership and viewers than most PhD published papers. And then didn't they, like, yeah, they did. Where they had not too long ago, they had a computer or software create bogus dissertations, PhD dissertations, and they submitted them to these journals, and the journals published them. It's so fraudulent. And so, I mean, just wanted to point out, not only does the emperor have no clothes, and quite literally, anyone in the non-STEM fields is pretty much a fraud. Some of them may have taken it seriously. Some may be taking it pretty seriously, but I'm sorry. Your study, your discipline, your field is bogus. It's bogus. It can be replaced with common sense. We already had the answers through 2 million years of human evolution, not the past 50 years of academic effery. Where, I'm an intellectual. Oh, I studied Freud and Jung. Oh, good for you. Good for you. Did you study neuroscience? Oh, you didn't. Oh, no wonder people are getting sicker. But not only is this just, they're jokes. They shouldn't be listened to. They're in all, not some, all of the publications I'd seen at least the past 60 years, completely worthless, completely fraudulent, not worth the paper they're written on or the journals they're published in. Social Science Quarterly. Ooh, I know I got a subscription to that. But here's, and oh gosh, they hate the internet. Oh, do they hate the internet? But here's what I also would recommend. If you have an interest in philosophy or the social sciences, which you naturally would, because it affects you as a society. I mean, there's science and, you know, it is what it is. How does a car work? Well, that's how it works. How does nuclear power work? Well, that's how it works. There's not really a lot of gray or pining or interaction with the rest of society or people. But we're all social scientists. You all get to study the liberal arts, you all, whether you like to or not. And if you have a genuine passion in a field, who cares if you have, who cares? You don't even need your minor. D- Did you enjoy? I think there was a guy who came out, he wrote a book on philosophy, and he has no academic background, and he just read philosophy. I think it became one of the best sellers recently, and all the people with their PhDs in philosophies got sand in their hoo-has, got their panties in a bundle. That's not real. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what do you care? It's popular. It's more important. It's more germane and helpful. And so not only should you write it for your own point and purpose, but chances are, if you're not an academic, you have the ability to be intellectually free. You have the ability to point out the emperor has no clothes. You have the ability to more accurately write and be critical and assess about whatever topic you want. Well, how do you think I predicted the housing crisis? Well, every other professional out there, high paid academics and professionals, the bulls bracket, got caught with their pants down. Because they're handicapped in the thinking. They're not even allowed to think. And you might as well, the average person on the street is going to be a better social science and liberal arts or philosopher or academic than the actual academics. And the stuff you're going to produce is not only going to be read more than these hacks publishing in obscure journals just to get their PhD in some completely impractical thing, but people are going to enjoy it more. I mean this quite literally. Now, criticize it as you may, the master red pill, whatever you want. That is the largest sociological, longest-running longitudinal meta-study done in the history of the world with more participants than anything else, even the trillions we've spent studying poverty, which, by the way, I don't know if you didn't know, we didn't solve it yet. But this red pill, that has solved, and there's no solution, but it has so codified and so thoroughly explored, so many, although there's limitless numbers of venues, but venues and tributaries and veins within how men and women interact with one another, that it actually has had huge and practical benefits to hundreds of millions, if not billions of men. It will over the course of the future, absolutely will. And that's of more value than any academic study coming out of academia today. Hit the gym, do this, go to school, major in the right thing, all this other stuff. That's more practical. I'd also presume the guy who wrote that philosophy book, people liked it because they found it practical. They could use it in their own life. I'm trying to think. There's just not that many. There's not that many people who self-publish, though, too. But that's the point I'm trying to think. Go. Self-publish, write, whatever it is about your hobby. And don't worry about whether or not you have an academic background in it, because these people don't really have a real academic background in it either. They just have Marxist leftist propaganda. And here's how you can tell. I am not even being cheeky with this. And that is, it's true. And you want to find out why? On every academic paper being pushed out by the non-STEM, ask what the conclusion is. And the conclusion is, we just need more of other people's money. There you go. Like, there's no solutions that involve letting people keep more of their money, letting people be more free. And then you kind of see just what a worthless joke of a political machine most of academia is, and what fraudsters they are. And sadly, it's kind of like, you know, like what happened to lawyers and doctors. You know, what do you mean? What happened to lawyers? What happened to lawyers and doctors? Well, let me tell you what happened to lawyers and doctors. Like, back in the before time, you know, when we were in the 80s and so, your parents would go, you want to become a lawyer or a doctor. They make lots of money. Well, over time, what ended up happening, the doctors continued to make a lot of money. But since we sent all these kids to college, Generation X was the first generation to be like, say, you got to go to college. Everyone go to college. College. Trades. We don't need those. Why is there a trucker shortage? So all these kids went to college. Most of them majored in worthless slop. But, you know, because of the 80s and you're amazing and brave. Oh, I should become a lawyer. Because let's just admit it. Medical school is hard. And law schools are more than happy to take in people, charge them an arm and a leg. And most people have liberal arts degrees. And then they go to a tier 4-2 school. They go and cut a student loan debt for law school on top of it. And they're completely unemployable. They're poor. Their lives are financially ruined. They were going to save the whatever, whatever you lawyers were going to save, whatever social problem you were going to solve, you did not. You just added to it. Now everyone else has to work hard so you could pay off your law school loans. Anyway, so the lawyers now are now it's like, nah, just become a doctor. Like the lawyer is the bad thing. Like, don't become a lawyer. No, you're Poe. You Poe. Poe. And it's kind of the same thing now. Like the professor. That used to be a prestigious thing. Oh, and they used to be pretty darn smart. Oh, okay. Professors. All right. That was a thing back now. Your jokes. Oh, are you a washed up 40 something that should have like had a job by now and like contributed to society, but you've been spewing the same stuff you thought was cool back when you were 15 or 16. Cause you're cool hippie teacher. Like, hey man, hey kids, you know what the cool thing is? Socialism, like free stuff and all. Because reasons and money printer go burr and the rich are bad. And here's reasons. That was, you know, well, oh, and by the way, kids, you're cool and dope, y'all, for advocating socialism. It's the new religion. Try it. Well, I'm an intellectual. Guys, remember, okay, I was really going back. Any of you have the Sylvia Plath girl in high school? She read Sylvia Plath. She was all emo-y and deep and all that. And you only tolerated such idiocy because you wanted to bang her. Ooh, she's an intellectual. She reads poetry. No, she was Ramona Flowers. The previous day, Ramona Flowers, it was edgy and was she's kind of cool. She's like Winona Ryder. Ooh, who wasn't that hot, by the way? Yeah, what was that? No, don't chase. So if you have an interest, and we can kind of see this now, this will be my last parting observation. The fields, the liberal arts, not necessarily the social sciences, because the social sciences is just completely where that's just where we go to throw our mentally impaired people to act as academics. But the liberal arts, if done right, are very interesting. And here's where I'm very thankful, because now the internet has freed up people with real talent, where you could go online and see the best of the liberal arts. I'd like, you know, we don't always talk about economics, but if you want to come to economics, maybe come talk to me or Economic Ninja or even Turtfling and Monkey has some great economic analysis. But I'm sure there are other dedicated channels to economics. You prefer to tune into those guys. But history, oh my gosh, this is the new renaissance of history. All these people with the history degrees who actually loved history but couldn't find real jobs because, well, let's admit, it's not really a real degree. They can find a lot of money if they're really good on the internet. So now you got kings and generals. You got time goes history. You got the histocrat. what's it called? Oh, when diplomacy fails. You got a whole bunch of really good history podcasts where you learn about history and it's interesting. And then philosophy too. Oh, there's some great philosophy things out there. You got Molyneux. Who else? Now, of course, none else come to mind. You got all these, they're out there. And now you don't have to pay $400 a credit to get a marginal, if not completely worthless, academic liberal arts hack with like socialism and racial theory and oppression. And oh, yeah, maybe Socrates too, but he's a bad, bad man. Oh, Weltgeist. That's it. He goes to Schopenhauer and the other guy, Zarathustra guy. I can't remember his name now. But that. You don't need a PhD for that. You don't. Just go on to the internet, tune in, and you'll become a better philosopher, better economist than anyone else getting over there with their PhDs. And the other reason, dude, if you publish, and keep in mind, like, I don't mean you go to these journals, like self-publish, write a good book. And outsell all these hacks. Oh, God, that's got to piss off academics. That someone like me could come in there, like write a book about economics and it sells better than anything they'll ever write in their entire lives. not all the times you get like some journalist hack and like, oh, more reasons to take other people's money. And you look in them, they got some book, you know, it's got like 3 reviews and it's been out for 10 years. Like, oh yeah, you're a journalist, huh? Literature major, huh? Oh, yeah, look at that book that you wrote that your 3 friends bought. Okay. I'm going to write this. Well, you don't have a degree in it. Yeah, you're right. I don't. Means I'm better than you morally and in terms of ability. Hey, write another book on why we need to take white people's money. Write another book on how women are oppressed. Yeah, write another one. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that sells. Yeah. So there you go. So if you guys wanted to, I think normal everyday people should write papers and academic studies, but it wouldn't be in the form of papers, academic studies. It would be in the forms of creating podcasts, lectures, replacing professors with internet so that autodidactics and normal people could just teach themselves, get a better education, write books. Hell, write books in fields that aren't even considered, you know, sanctified studies within modern day academia. I mean, you guys are interested in why is this the red pill, the fastest growing, biggest market out there right now, I'd say, in the frontier part of the economy? Well, because women and the opposite sex is probably the most important thing in other people's lives. Oh, men's lives anyway. Girls, I'm not too sure about. you see any schools or academics putting that together? No. I mean, if anything, like I just saw an advertisement, you need your MBA, possibly prepare you for, I was like, really? We're doing the MBA thing still? Anything to avoid a real job, I guess, huh? So there you go. Anyway, now, if you'd like, let me show you. You guys want to piss off the academics? All right, look. Poor Richard's retirement. I don't have a certification in financial planning, but I still wrote a book on financial planning. Curse of the High IQ. I don't have a degree in psychology or testing IQs. I think still wrote a book on IQ. Oh, the academics didn't like that. You didn't. Blah, 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 blah. Worthless young person's indispensable guide to choosing the right major. I don't have a degree in education. Sandy's a future of wealth. That's more philosophy. The Book of Numbers. There ain't no academics out there studying the analyzing the ROI and the pursuit of women, let alone men. Oh, I don't have a degree in sociology, but I wrote a 500-page book on how not to become a millennial because this is the world's greatest, largest sociological experiment. The millennials. Don't you want to know the results? Don't you want to know what happens when you tell an entire generation of kids poppycock lies and unicorns and bunny farts? Hey, man, socialism is cool, dude. And big is beautiful. You want to know what the result is? Hey, maybe you pick up this book. Again, financial planning, blah, blah. And I'll tell you this, every single book I just showed you, not because I wrote them, but because the standards are so low. All those books are better than anything you can get out of a modern day academic. They're more interesting. They're more practical. They're better. Because I'm on a low IQ, lazy F-wit sitting in academia who's never touched the real world life with his toe. You know, it's like I always do the pun. I have a book, The Black Man's Guide Out of Poverty. I don't have a degree in racial relations or whatever. They screw you kids over for $500 a credit. where was I going with that? Oh, I forgot. Darn it, I had it. What a degree, Black Man's Guide Out of Poverty. Forgot where I was going with that. But anyway, write. Literally, the average person on the street is better than an academic. You are. As long as you're intellectually honest, as long as you tell the truth, as long as you're more interesting. And for the most part, most of you are going to be more interesting because you actually hang out in the real world. These academic F-wits, they do. Can I stroke off your Marxist dick? Well, let me stroke off. We're running out of tweezers. Somebody get more tweezers. Why are there tweezers? Why is there always these tweezer orders going over to the academic, to the universities? Because they have to jerk off their own little dicks. The little tweezers. All right, there you go. See you guys. Oh, wait. Maybe there might be some super chats. Mexi Man and Cheese, $5. Do you think the brain drain the establishment is experiencing as a result of ending meritocracy will affect their ability to cement their plans? No, because they've done such a good job of brainwashing young kids K through college. People keep voting that in. what you're going to see is a dilution in the economy, the dilution of our ability to create goods and services. But people still think and believe in free stuff. We will need to have no food. We will need to have a Zimbabwe-like experience, which will be a while from now, because we still do produce things here. For people to say, hey, wait a minute. Look, let me ask you this, Mixie Man. How long did it take you to realize, not that you're necessarily being lied to, but the information you were being given about chasing the girls and what girls wanted was a big lie? How long did that take you? I'd say it takes people at least 10 years to figure out that's a lie. Most girls never figure out that what they've been told is a lie. Most of them go to their graves. I mean, oh my gosh. You think Gen X is Generation Spinster? Just wait. I mean, just wait. I mean, some of them will go to their graves believing in socialism or a lie, as long as a lie is good. So it's, as long as you have believers, they're going to vote this in. We'll print off the money. We'll enable it. But there'll be less and less food, like real things we need. And then once we get to like brownouts, like where the electrical grid is put down a little bit, then brought back up, not until people are pained and that pain is stronger than their desire or what they get out of believing in basically socialism as a religion, whatever existential agency, point, purpose, reason in life, value they get out of that. Until their hunger pains or the cold or the poverty essentially is more painful than the joy they get deriving out of their leftist religion, then they're not going to turn around. And then it's going to take at least 10 years to rebuild the infrastructure and redeploy people. I made that point about truck driver. Oh, we need more truck drivers. Well, what? You just spent two generations training a pool of sanctimonious liberal arts majors. They can't drive truck. Well, we need more mechanics. Well, okay, that's like a 2-3 year process minimum. I mean, they can lecture you about privilege and patriarchy. They could call you a racist. They could call you a sexist. That's what they can do. But they can't drive truck. They don't know how. We're going to have to retool, retrain. So even then, even if we got the philosophical, whoa. Socialism is bad. The establishment doesn't know. There was a reason meritocracy existed, because of production. Okay. Well, I guess it's at least 3 years until we start getting people with skills and talents. So, I mean, at 10 years would be an amazing turnaround time. 10 years would be amazing. That'd be like a Japanese level of hard work and dedication, going from bombed out Hiroshima and Nagasaki to about the 50s and 60s, where it's like, okay, we're back to normal. Safety Doc, he's podcasting tonight. Please tune into Doc and subscribe to Doc. Before you subscribe to Doc, subscribe to me. I need my 100,000. Need my 100,000, but go to the Safety Doc podcast over there. Mountain Man Chuck, new guy, $5, recommended Michael Millerman, beginning with Heidegger. Okay. That might be the book I was thinking of. Cabragoon Cabulous, $2. Ever think of putting out a course on self-publishing? Nah, I'm sure someone else has got it out there. And then, like, you can look that stuff up on the internet. It's very specific. It'd be a boring book too. There's not much to it. DJ Aftershock, $5. Dude, man. Like, I think we should tax the big corporations, man. Like, my dad has subsidized me while I work at Starbucks, man. Christoph Anon, 100 rubles. Every Keynesian is a witch doctor in tweed. Correct. I mean, what just the greatest meme is, you got the outlet bar, you know, like you got a bunch of outlets in the cord, and then it plugs back in. Infinite energy, Paul Krugman. That's it. I think that's it. All right, there you go. Questions, answers, assholeconsulting.com. See you guys later. Toodles.